Holy God, Holy Most Gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Luke chapter 6. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Is it a sin to be rich? Today in our gospel reading, Jesus says, on the one hand, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And on the other hand, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Is it a sin to be rich? Should we sell all that we have, give it to the poor, and be poor ourselves? It is not a sin to be rich. It is a sin to fear, love, and trust in something other than our Lord, or more than our Lord. It is a sin to make something else our God. The real question is how do you view the things that God has given you? How do you view the things of this world that God has provided? Do you treat them as though they are your gods, as though you can expect all good from them? Or do you fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Our Lord calls us to trust in Him, to come unto Him and find our rest in Him, as we will sing in the hymn after the homily today. Our Lord has made us, has created us, has given us life. He loves you and He takes care of you, and He does not want you to have any other gods before Him. And it is very easy for us to trust in something else. It is very easy for man to trust in the creature rather than the Creator. Just read the Old Testament and how over and over again the sin that they fall into is idolatry, trusting in something else more than the one true God. And so today, as we consider this Sermon on the Plain, we're going to look at the blessings that Jesus speaks and the woes that He speaks, and be warned against the danger of trusting in the things of this world more than our Lord, and see what our Lord calls us to and what He promises. So first, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And then on the other hand, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." The issue here is people who find their consolation, their comfort, their joy, their satisfaction, or they try to find it in the things of this world, instead of recognizing that apart from Jesus, whatever they have, however much they have, however much God has given them, apart from Jesus, they have nothing. And a good test of this, a good test of whether you fear poverty more than you fear our Lord's wrath. A good test of whether you love our Lord more than you love the things that God has given you. And a good test of whether you trust in your own ability to acquire wealth, whether it be the stock market, your job, what you do, or someone else. The good test of whether you have made the things of this world your God would be to go home today, to look at your dorm room or your apartment or your house and say, could I give all of this up? If all of this went away tomorrow, would I be okay? Could I believe and trust in my Lord and say, I have the kingdom of God. Even if all of this goes away, the Lord who has gone into death for me has given me eternal life because of his death on the cross and his perfect life for me. And I have all things in him. I have true riches that can neither perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for me. And so, yes, all these things could go away. I could even give them all away, trusting and believing that my Lord has provided all that I need. Next, our Lord says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And then the parallel woe says, woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Hungry versus satisfied. Do you seek your satisfaction in the things of this world? Are you difficult to be around when you're hungry, when you haven't eaten for a while? Are you looking forward to and thinking more about the next meal than the next time that you come to our Lord's table to receive his gifts, or you feast on the Word of God? Is your heart and your appetite set on satisfying your stomach? Is your God your stomach, as Paul warns about elsewhere in Scripture? The Lord wants us to find our satisfaction, our joy, and our comfort in him, no matter how much we have to fill our stomachs. The Lord says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And on the other hand, woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Laughing, pleasure versus grief and mourning. Are we willing to give up our own pleasures here in this world? Or do we fear suffering more than we fear the wrath of God? Do we love our pleasures more than we love the prospect, the hope, the promise of being with our Lord forever? And do we trust in the things of this world to give us pleasure, whether they be substances, whether they be the next break from classes or the next vacation, whatever it may be that gives us pleasure and joy? Do we care more about those things and trust more in whatever will give us those things than we trust in and love our Lord? Jesus says, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. And on the other hand, woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. How much do you fear what people will think of you? How much do you love having their accolades and their compliments? How much of your work is driven by what people will say about the sermon that you preach, the Bible study that you give, the paper that you write, the degree that you have, the thing that you earn? How much more are you driven by what others say, rather than thinking about, does God look down and smile at the things that I have said and confessed, at the words that I have spoken or I have written, or the work that I have done? do we fear, love, and trust in our Lord more than we fear, love, and trust in the favor of others? It is very easy in this life to make the things that we see now our gods and to seek our satisfaction, our consolation from them. An example later on in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, of someone who did place their trust in the things of this world comes from this parable of the rich man that Jesus tells. This rich man whose land that God had given him, produces abundantly. And when he sees this and he receives this blessing from God, which he does not speak of God or reference God or give thanks to God for what he has been given. He does not, in other words, live in faith. But when all of that happens, he decides that he's going to build bigger barns. He's going to store away what he has for years to come so that he can enjoy it. He can find his consolation here and now. He does not think about the fact that God has given it to him. He does not think that God has entrusted this to him and that he is to be a steward of it and that it is to be used in love for his neighbor. No one else is in the picture except himself. This is an example of the kind of person to whom Jesus speaks the woes earlier in Luke chapter 6. The person who finds their consolation in this life, whose God is their own stomach, their own pleasures, their own riches. But on the other hand, further on in the book of Luke, when you turn to Luke chapter 19, you see another rich man, Zacchaeus, who wants to see Jesus. He is not simply satisfied with his pleasures, he wants to see Jesus. And Jesus invites himself over to the man's house, and the man is willing to give the half of his possessions away. And if he has defrauded anyone, to restore it fourfold. Now you wonder how many people are going to come to him and demand and say that they defrauded him. But he doesn't seem to be afraid of that. He doesn't express any fear at poverty, at the loss of what he has. He rejoices that Jesus is there. He rejoices in the salvation that he has in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. Here we have an example of a rich man who, though he had sinned, mourns over his sin, acknowledges he has done wrong, is willing to give away what he has in faith, in trust in our Lord and his promises. However much we have been blessed with, the Lord calls us to trust in him. The Lord Jesus who came, who was poor, that we might become rich, that we might have the eternal riches of life with him forever. He wants to give us the best things. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Find your rest and your comfort and your hope in him. However rich or poor you may be, whatever suffering you have endured, however much you have the favor or the disfavor of others, trust in our Lord, look to him for all good. He has lived the perfect life in perfect faith and perfect love for you in your place and gone into death to redeem you and give you life so that you may have riches forever. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the willing spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
And let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers, that in our frailty, we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, scepter that rises out of Jacob, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, rule our hearts through your cross and suffering, and forgive us our sins, that we may become partakers of your divine life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly
Father, through Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.